Okay, so I just want to talk very briefly about one more sugya on Mem Amud Beis, the sugya of Shatnez. It's not as it's born tangentially, but it's such an important sugya of halacha, and this is really one of the main gemaras that actually talks about it, so I just want to say a few words. The gemara says that Begish Avabo Kalayim Hareza Loyim Kurenu Lenachri. If you have a wool suit that got lost some kalayim in it, some linen got into the wool, so it says, don't give it to a guy, because if you give it to a guy, maybe the guy will sell it back to a Jew. So we're afraid that a Jew is going to buy from a guy, and he's going to look at the suit, and he's not going to realize that there's kalayim in that suit. It looks like a wool suit. It looks like 100% wool suit. The label says 100% wool suit, but really, there's a little bit of kalayim in the suit. And the mela, the Jew is going to be nichshol. So you should never sell a guy a suit that has lost in a kalayim. In a kalayim that's not obvious. So the funny point that comes out of this Gemara is that it sounds like you're allowed to buy suits from guy. You're allowed to buy a garment from guy. You're allowed to get a wool suit from a guy. And since you're allowed to buy from a guy, and you're allowed to assume that it doesn't look like shatnez, looks like it's a wool. I don't have to worry that somewhere in there's some linen. So Mamela Jews will buy it, and therefore, if you taka have a beggar that has a little bit of shatnez in it and it's not noticeable, you shouldn't give it to a guy, because they'll sell it to a Jew and the Jew won't know about it. So the obvious kasha is, one second, why you let, if it's such a thing, there is such a thing as a wool beggar that has a string of shatnez in it, a string of linen. So, why don't you always have to worry that maybe the suit has some linen in it? Right? Sounds like the Gemara pretty clear. You're allowed to stand by a wool suit that looks like a wool suit. You're allowed to buy it from a guy. You don't have to worry. Maybe somewhere in this bag it is flying. So why on earth is that? Right? And what does that say? Halacha lemaisa. Right? You call the shatnez lab. They'll tell you anything wool. You gotta come get a check. So it doesn't sound like that way. From the Gemara, it sounds like if it looks like wool, seems to be a wool suit, to worry that somewhere in there there's a piece of linen, sounds like you don't have to worry about that. What's pshat here? So the emphasis of Gemara, you really see this the point of kula here. So I just want to talk about what the kula is and what it says about halacha lemaisa. So there's one interesting point of kula. Not everyone agrees to, but definitely a number of Rishonim, is to say that the reason you could be Makel, you don't have to be so machmer by shatnez. There's a Gemara that says, on neither daf samach aleph, that sometimes shatnez could just be drabanan. The Gemara says like this, the Gemara in neither brings our inyan about the begish avav kalayim, and then it tells you the din about if a beged has a chut of pishtan, you have a wool garment, and there's a string, one thread of linen in the wool garment, the Gemara says you could pull out the linen. And the Gemara says, and even if you're a suffix, you're not sure if you actually got the whole thread out. You don't know you got that thread out. It says you could be makel. You know, it's a suffix. Why on earth could you be makel? So the Gemara says it's just a suffix rabbanon. So why on earth is a suffix rabbanon? We always thought shatnez is deraisa. So the Gemara says that shatnez is a lashon. It's like Rashi tables for shavu tava v'nuz. What that means, what Rashi says it means. Different pshatim exactly what the Gemara is saying. But Rashi says, and other Rishonim also, the pshat of the Gemara is that the Gemara says you don't have to worry that maybe somewhere in the bega there's a string of pishtan, because if shatnez deraisa, it has to be that it was shavu tava v'nuz, meaning it was combed, spun, and woven together. Meaning real shatnez deraisa, sounds from Rashi, real shatnez deraisa, it has to be that the actual thread itself is made of a blend of wool and linen. So that's if you read Rashi in Nida, seems to say that. Now if that was true, all shatnez is drabanim. So, and that would be a good reason why the Gemara would be Mekel. So Rav Chaim points out, really, which I'm talking about before Rav Chaim, but we're just going to talk about Rav Chaim since here. Rav Chaim points out that L'chaira can't be true. How could that possibly be true, he says, is because he quotes a well-known Gemara in Yevamos, But the Gemara says in Yevamos that tzitzis really should be asur because of shatness. Because if you wear a linen beged, and in the linen beged you put wool tzitzis, so that should be shatness. The Gemara says that afal pikin it's mutter because there's a hekish between shatness and the mitzvah of tzitzis. So the question is that the strings of tzitzis and the linen beged, they're not one thread, they're just strings, they're just woven together. So if so, why is that shatness? Oh, and it's clear it's shatness the raisa. So Chaim says you sold. We can't go through the whole sugya of shatness here, but we'll just say his yisod because it's just what's important lahalacha. Rav Chaim says there's a big yisod. He says if the wool and linen are right in front of us, we see wool and tzitzis in a linen beged. So that he says is asa d'raisa. He says the pasuk says that you shouldn't wear shatness. Samur pishtem yachdav. You can't have wool and linen together. There's wool, there's linen, and therefore, he says, it's asur. He says, but where's this heter? He says, the heter comes when it's a taroves, a mixture here. It's lost. He says, when you have one thread, a little bit of linen that's lost in a wool suit. You don't see it. It looks 100% wool. Maybe somewhere in the speg of this linen. He says, over there, the linen's bottle. He says, when I tell you the linen is bottle. And he says, and therefore, you're not going to have an Issur D'Raisa. He says, you could have an Issur D'Raisa if it's clearly, you look at the bag and you see wool and linen mixed together. But a strand of linen mixed in, he says, that's the regular din with Kol Torah Kula, that is a din of bittel. When something isn't nicker and it's mixed in, it becomes bottle. So he says, the linen is bottle and the wool bagged. He says, so what's the Gemara talking about that shatness is only if it's Shabbat, Tav, and Nuz? So says Rav Chaim, there's really two Isser of shatness. There's one Isser of shatness, which is that you're wearing wool and linen together. He says, that's one pasuk that says, Semel Pishon Yachav. He says, it's another pasuk by shatness. There's a pasuk that says, Beged Kalayim Shatness Lo Yala Alecha. It says you shouldn't put on yourself a beged of kalayim that is shatness. So he says that's a different issur. He says that if you were to have thread that was made of wool and linen together, the thread itself, that's a different issur. He says that's an issur of kalayim. The other pasuk doesn't even say anything about samur keshet. It just says it's kalayim and it's shatness. So says Rav Chaim that Semru Pishtim, there's a din of bittel. He says, but when Isser is Kalayim, the Isser is something called an Isser Kalayim, and the beggar, the actual thread of the beggar was made of a blend of wool and linen. He says, once the Isser is being called Kalayim, so by Kalayim, he says, there's no bittel. He says, there's two separate Isserim. There's one Isser when the thread itself is a blend. He says, when the thread is a blend, so then the Torah doesn't say Semru Pishtim. It just says it's a beged of shatnez kalayim, beged kalayim shatnez. So he says, once we're talking about a blend of the Isser, the Torah says the Isser is blended wool and linen. He says, so the clause like this. He says, in the din of bittel berov, whenever the Torah says that something's asur be'en, right, like nevela. You can't eat nevela, but if the nevela is mixed with rov shuta, so it's mutter. The Torah only asked nevela when it was the end, not when it's mixed with rov shuta. And he says, therefore, too, if you're going to have the iser of semer pishtim yachtav, so the wool is only aser when it's the end. If it's mixed, it's not nicker, and it's bottle, there'll be no iser. He says, but the iser of Beggar Kalayim Shatnas, he says that's a different Isser. Because the Isser is on the mixture. The mixture isn't on wool and not on linen, it's on a mixture. So the Torah asked a beged, that the beged itself is formed in a mixture. So therefore, Rav Chaim says, if you would have a beged that the threads themselves are a wool linen blend, so he says that's going to be an Isser D'Raisa. But he says, when you're talking about separate threads, and the Isser is just because they're woven together. He says that's only an Isser if it's Nicker, and if it's Taka 100%, we'll beg it. And he's just afraid for Ovid Bo Klein, then it would just be an Isser Rabbana. But in any case, I'll just mention our Gemara is definitely a Makar for a certain amount of Kula here, which is that the Gemara is definitely clear that there was a time that Meikur Din, you're allowed to buy from a guy if it looks like it's a wool baguette and you don't have to be choshesh, maybe it's Ovid Bo Kashmir. So that's a little bit of a Kula, and that's why checking the Gadim. Checking begadim, there's a mile of checking begadim for shatnez al stat. You know, even suffix rabbanon lakula, we only rely on if it's not easy to check. If it's easy to check, there's always a mile of checking. It's clear from Gemara that it's not that, if you go to an all, a frum store where they've never found, they know their brands of suits, no one's ever found shatnez in those brands. You should know it's definitely no worse than the Gemara's case, which was Sam buying the garden from Guy. We'll see what we have time for, but I'll just mention one other, just such a beautiful Nakudi here. Taisus here talks about this Gemara we have by us that says you're allowed to make tachrichin for a mace out of shatness. You're allowed to have the clothes of a mace could be shatness. So Taisus says Kasha, this is a very Lamasha Kasha, and does have what to say Lamaisa. His Lamasha Kasha is the Ferish Gemara is that you have to bury a mace in a talus with tzitzis, because if not, it's a problem of log l'rash, that the mace is going to feel bad that he doesn't get to wear tzitzis. Shaila is, what's the difference? If you got to give him tzitzis, he shouldn't feel bad. Why is that? You could put on shatnez. Stam sakasha. I'm not going to say what Tosis says, the difference between him. Just one thing just to mention, not lahalacha, there's a machshava, there's a very well-known Ramban in Parashas Yisro, who says a big difference between mitzvahs essays and mitzvahs losa say. The Ramban says that the sort of mitzvahs essays is they give you schar. The sort of mitzvahs losa say is not that they give you schar, but if you're over on them, you get punished. He says that's what losa says are about, avoiding punishment, sur me ra, and essays are asay tov, and they get you schar. So the middle of that could be very posh teretz, is that the pshad is the mace wants tzitzis. He feels bad to have tzitzis, because if you don't have tzitzis, you leave this world, you feel very bad. The hard part about being dead is a person can't do mitzvahs anymore. He can't get sky, he can't do a mitzvah essay. He can't with tzitzis. Legab, the losa says, so lehefach, he's very proud. Look at my shatnez. Baruch Hashem, he says, he's dead now, and he can wear shatnez. He doesn't have to worry anymore about possible onshem. Losa says, who wants to be able to do losa says? Legab, the losa says, it'd be much better not to be alive. So Mela, he's happy with the shatnez. So that's an achshava. But I'll just mention this Rashbam. Rashbam, according to Tosfos Nida, that's very sophistic, so just mention that, just the kitzur. The Rashbam says there's a big difference in lamdas between the mitzvah of tzitzis and the mitzvah of shatnez. He says the mitzvah of tzitzis, he says that any time the pasuk says you have to put a tzitzis on arba kantfos susecha shetachasipa, whatever you cover yourself with. And therefore, even by a mace, it's shy for a mace to cover himself. I mean, he is covered, so other people cover him for him, but if he's covered, there's an inyan of where it sits. Whereas by shatnez, it's clear the Gemara says earlier in our parak, the Gemara says that shatnez is only usher if you wear the beg of the shem hana. It's a din of an isser of hana, of having hana slavisha. Wearing it to be warm, to feel the hana of covid, but it's only for the shem hana. Shalom shem hana, you're allowed to wear shatnez. More said in the Chavah, that if you're someone who's selling shatnez with gadim, could put on the shatnez clothes in order to sell them, because he's not wearing them with shame, his physical hana. So says the Rashbam, a mace cannot get hana. He can't get hana because there's no way for him to warm up. The beggar doesn't give him any warmth. It doesn't, right? He's underground. No one sees him. He doesn't look good. He doesn't get anything from the shatnez, and therefore he's mutter in shatnez. There's no iser in shatnez. Even if he was alive, it's not a bizarre thing. Even if he was alive, if he was wearing a beged and not getting hana from it, there would not be asur because of shatnez. He says, whereas tzitzis is just about being covered, and the mela mace is also chayv in tzitzis, or ainu with sivosa. There's a mitzvah of mitzvah of tzitzis on a mace. And if the Sifri Zut and Parsha Shlach actually says the mace is chayv in tzitzis. Tosis Bayas says a mace is ainu with sivosa. But a mace, there's a shaykhis of a dead person. So just to mention that's a little bit important in an evaluating. We're not saying halacha lemaisa, but in evaluating different dinim in tzitzis. You know, there's a big kasha in tzitzis. Some have pointed out that our tzitzis, l'chare, how are we always in the midst of tzitzis? Right? Let's say we're in the middle of the summer and we put on our tzitzis. Why are we putting on our tzitzis? Are we getting hanah from it? So probably not. It's making us warm. We would rather not wear the tzitzis. Right? Does anyone see the tzitzis? Are we getting covered? No. We're wearing a l'shem mitzvah. So if we're just wearing l'shem mitzvah, how can we make a bracha of putting on the tzitzis? Our mitzvah's tzitzis. There's no mitzvah. So one teretz given, the teretz we rely on, is the Rashbam. It's to say the Rashbam said, no, but tzitzis, it doesn't have to give you hana. Even if it doesn't give you hana, afal pikin, it could be a mitzvah of tzitzis. So that could be a teretz. Not everyone agrees with the Rashbam, I have to tell you. If you don't agree with the Rashbam, the taka is some archoshes, that maybe tzitzis has to give you hana. But the field of Rashbam is very mirush of the minna. Right, another chiluk would be, let's say, if you wear a towel. A towel has four corners. Right? You come out of the shower wearing a towel. So if that towel is shatnez, you got to take the towel off. Right? Because it's giving you hana. You can't get any hana from it. So if you're wearing it, it's warming you up after your shower, you're cold, and that's going to be necessary. But do you have to put tzitzis on the towel? So we assume, we hope this is true, that you don't have to put on tzitzis. Why? Because like tzitzis is not a question of are you getting hana. The question is it's susecha shetachasibar. It has to be clothing. So if this thing, enachinami, right now you're covering yourself with it, but it's not a ksus, it's not something that the etzem is made as a ksus, so the meila is be part of from tzitzis. That's the site. Tasis here says different tariffs, don't say anything like that. I'm going to mention about that the Rashbam is very substack. Okay, so back to Psachim. So Mem Aleph. So Mem Aleph, there's a sugya here of Matzah Shruya. The Gemara says that you're allowed, if you Yotzei, the post will say it's Bidiyeve, but Bidiyeve, you could be Yotzei if someone has a hard time eating Matzah. They could soak their matzah. By soaking your matzah, you could be yotzei. And it's pointed out from the Gemara, one thing very pashut in the Gemara we really had before is that it's pashut that matzah can't come to your chametz, right? Certainly that's the Messias, right? If you soak matzah, right, it's not going to come to your chametz, right? No one's ever seen their matzah start rising. Right? The Gemara said before, right, the whole sugya about chalot, that even if you don't bake it into matzah, but if you boil flour, after it's boiled, if it's boiled well, with really good hot water, it won't come with bei chametz. So, the issue is, if the Gemara is so pashut, it's mutter, and Shulchan Aruch, and all the posts are completely feirish, that if a person can't eat matzah, they're allowed to soak their matzah in water to make it softer. So, what does that say about the minhag of gebracht? Right, gebracht is that the idea that some have a minute that the fear that if they soak their matzah or just put their matzah touches liquid, perhaps their matzah will somehow turn into chametz. So is there any basis for that chashash? So it's the basis for the chashash comes from the Gemara on Lama Tess. Gemara says on Lama Tess that Mar Zutra says lo limchi inish kedera v'kimcha darshina. There's a chash that Mar Zutra had, which says that if you take kimcha davshina, you shouldn't put it into water because perhaps that kimcha davshina, which Rashi says is talking about grain that was heated and dried out in an oven, baked in an oven, and it, when it went into the oven, it was Rashi says it was lacha, it was grain that hadn't been dried out yet, and now you dry it out in the oven and you toast it, and then you grind it up and use that flour. That flour, even though that flour's already been toasted, still you shouldn't put it into liquid because of chashash that maybe it will come with chametz. Now, why will it come with chametz? It was toasted in an oven. So the Gemara says that yes, toasting in the oven certainly stops it from ever having a possibility of become a chametz, but the Gemara says that we're afraid that maybe you didn't do a good job, maybe it wasn't toasted well enough, and since it wasn't toasted well enough, it may have become a day chametz. So this is quoted. The Mishnah Berurah mentions the Chumrah of Gebrach. He doesn't encourage it, but he mentions it. And he says, if someone does it, ain't maznichim also. He says, you shouldn't embarrass a person for keeping this minug. Why? Because it's based on this chshash of kimcha davshuna. So based on this chshash that perhaps there's some flour that's going to go into the water and will turn into chametz. So the shaila on the chumrah is that you have to explain why was there a chumrah by kimcha davshuna. Right, just like we say by matzah, the Gemara has absolutely no qualms about allowing rakha kasharoi. We let you put the matzah in water. Why on earth? So, and even if we are going to assume that our matzah for some reason has flour on it, that's the way it is. Okay, so let there be flour. Let you coat your matzah in flour. But still, why should it be machna? Why was it that the kimcha shuna was worse than stam matzah? So Pashat, if you asked me, I would say the reason is Pashat. Kimcha davshuna, how do you know that it was toasted well enough? By matzah, if your matzah wasn't baked, that could happen. It certainly could happen. Sometimes matzah isn't baked well enough. But you'll see it, right? The Gemara gives the shiurim, and the Rishonim, we spoke once in the shiur, about what are the different simanim and matzah to know if the matzah has been baked well enough. But a tak of matzah has to be baked. If it's not baked, it could become chametz. But you're eating matzah. The matzah certainly was baked. You could tell it's baked. And therefore, why should I worry about any flour that's on this matzah? Right? So, Pashas, I would say once it's in matzah, the matzah is clear as baked, and therefore, so too the flour should be clear as baked. So that's one kasha on the minhag. The other kasha is the Mishnah Berurah mentions, Darchei Moshe mentions, that goes to Maimonides, he says he thinks that if you put flour in the oven, you could really use that flour on Pesach. He says, the problem with kimcha davshuna was because you didn't start out with dry flour. You started out with moist kernels. So those, it's harder to know if you really did a great job drying them out and toasting them. If it's really flour, toasted flour, you don't have to worry about. And the Mishnah Berurah says, even b'diyeved, he says you can be making on toasted flour, right? If I have baked flour and I put it into my food, Mishnah Berurah says, b'diyeved, you can eat that on Pesach. So l'chayra, what's the Gebrach based out of? So Gebrach, the way the Mishnah Berurah says to be miyashe the mitzvah, why ein maznichin or so, right? We don't want to make fun of people. So he says the basis for the minhag is that maybe there's flour in the matzah. Ein achinam, if the flour is coating your matzah, so it'll get baked. But if the flour is actually inside the dough of the matzah, and it didn't get mixed well enough, now that flour is going to be protected from the heat. It's not going to actually bake properly because it's inside the dough, and therefore it won't get baked well enough. I saw Shlomo Zalman points out that it's not like so clear why that is. Why have a chashash like that? But okay, so let's assume that if you bake your matzah, even if you bake your matzah, perhaps the little flour inside the matzah won't be baked properly. So could be, right? So I could hear that. I definitely hear that. There's a possibility that in order to get the flour baked, properly toasted, it needs to be, it needs to have more direct heat. It won't be enough. What the matzah needs less than the flour inside the matzah. All right, here is a possibility. However, I don't know if we could ask, has anyone ever been eating matzah or bread in their life and ever noticed flour inside? I don't know. I haven't. So, right? But Shia, you keep your macaron on Gebrach, so you can some have.
Bread, yes. Not matzah.
Have seen?
I've seen flour and bread.
Flour and bread? Wow. Okay, so Baruch Hashem. So the way it works is that the halacha is koveya the metziah. So I eat, I'm not macaron on Gebrach, so I've never seen it. But Shia, you're macaron, and you have seen it. Good. Okay, beautiful. So it is a possible thing. That's good, Baltic. Baruch Hashem. So I'll just say the halacha l'maisa, I'll just say Rav Moshe says about Gebrach that he says he doesn't think it's, he thinks it is a reasonable, there's such a, he doesn't endorse, he doesn't, he doesn't encourage it, but he says it is a chumrah, and it's a valid chumrah. He says, and therefore, if you don't want to keep your bracha, you have to have taras nedarim. If you choose you don't want to do it, he says, and if you're part of a community, if you're like living in a community, we'll see more about this in the fourth paragraph, but if you're living in a community that keeps gebracht, you don't even have a right to be matir nedarim, because you have to keep all the chumras of your community. So that lechaira, that's Rav Moshe Paskins. Now, Rav Moshe does write one thing. He says, if you have a chumra that the chumra makes no sense, he says, you won't even need hataras nedarim, and even if your community keeps the chumra, you don't have to keep it. Right, because the assumption is that it's a chumrah, that it really is machmor. Like, let's say we said that it didn't make any sense. Right, so Rav Moshe says it does make enough sense that if it's your minhag, you have to keep that minhag. It's interesting, I'll just mention Rav Yaakov Emden Shel Tzi'aivitz. So he says not that way, he says from his father Chacham Tzvi. He mentioned Chacham Tzvi earlier in this year by Kitnius, and he's a little bit of a minhag buster. So he writes that he thinks it's not a chassidus, he thinks it's chassidus shal shtos. Okay, we have to listen to this parashia. But he says, Lamaisa, you're hurting your own yamtiv for such a far-fetched chumrah. Right? So at least if someone took the view of the Chacham Tzvi, he would say, no, lehafach, it's not a good thing, it's a bad thing. Okay, but that's not what Moshe says, and I'll just say, if someone doesn't want to keep the minah, he wants to be more machmor on Simchas Yamtiv, and he doesn't live in a community, right, that's the minah. And he doesn't want to keep it, so there's room for Taras Nedarim. Okay. All right. So not enough time for everything. I'll mention one point here on Mem Aleph because it's such a theme that we never discussed, and it a little bit finishes on Mem Aleph. Just something I think needs some beer in the Metzias is the sugya of Meperos. The sugya starts on Lamed Hey. Okay, so it's a good sugya for the Chazar, which we're going to start at Lamed Hey, and it finishes only here on Mem Aleph. That the Lamed Hey, we saw a sugya about May Peres Ein Machmitzim. However, over here, it's interesting, Mem Aleph, the Gemara talks about, has a suffix, a machlok samaram, if you're allowed to put flour into charoses. And the question being, is chometz mechamed? Right, so the Gemara has machlok tana that maybe chometz even has the power to stop chimitz. Stop chimitz during the tracks. That even if you mix flour with water, the chometz and add chometz would stop the chimitz problem. The chometz would stop the chimitz. But the Gemara says by charoses, the question is that even though we hold that chometz does not have the power to be tzomitz to stop chimitz, but perhaps chometz will not be mechametz. The Gemara has a machlokus. Will chometz be mechametz? Do you have to worry about the flour in charoses, which says chometz? Do you have to worry that that's going to turn into chametz? So, it's pointed out that it's a little bit shvar in the din of mei peros ein machmitzim. On Lamed Hey, the Gemara says mei peros ein machmitzim, and on many Rishonim, the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch, they take that at face value that if you mix your orange juice with your flour, it will not become chametz. But not only that it won't become chametz, the Rambam and Shulchan Aruch write that even if it does become chametz, even if you see it rises a little bit, afal pikein, you could eat that on Pesach. That's the din of the Shulchan Aruch. A little bit stressful to me that should be what the Shulchan Aruch writes, right? Because I tried it out at home. I didn't have to try it out at home because I could have just read the Rambam. The Rambam says even though it rises, you can eat it on Pesach. Right, so I tried it at home. I saw taka that May Peros does not rise nearly as well as water rises, but it did rise. Right, it rises maybe half as well, half as fast, but it did rise. Right, so fine. But that's exactly Shulchan Aruch. Would the Shulchan Aruch say that even if you add yeast to it? So I assume not. I assume he's talking about stam without yeast, where the koach of chimus is far weaker. But the Maisa, that's what he says, that's the Mahalach. a little bit troubling. Rashi, though, Rashi didn't say it that way. Rashi said no. Rashi said no. The Gemara Lashon of Reish Lakish was about that May Peros ein chayavim al chemutzo kares. He says not chayav kares on chemutzo. So this is something we're going to see in the third paragraph. That to be chayav kares, you need for the chametz to be real, the real quintessential chametz. It has to be the paradigm chametz. If it's not real, if it's not the ultimate chametz, you're not chayav kares. But Avada Rashi says if it's mechametz, so you will be over an Esther. Almas pointed out, Pnei Yeshua points out, that this Gemara Amem Aleph is a big riot to Rashi, because the Gemara seems to have a suffix if chometz is mechametz. It says a machlokas amaram, will chometz be mechametz? So to Rashi, it's very understandable, because Stamei Perus is mechametz. It's not mechametz well. It's not, it's not a very powerful mechametz. You wouldn't worry about chimus by Mei Perus the way you'd worry about it by water. But l'maisa, if it's mechametz, it's aser. It's just not chayv kares. So if you're making your charoses with chometz and kamach, you have to worry. Maybe it could be mechametz. Or maybe no. Maybe regular May payrolls could be mechametz. If it's not so conducive to being mechametz, but it could be mechametz. But maybe chometz is a stronger koach of stopping chimas, and therefore you wouldn't worry about it at all, right? You wouldn't be matter lechatchila mixing flour and apple juice on Pesach, right? And just to leave that around for hours and hours, you wouldn't be matter that, right? Like the Shulchan Aruch Taka is matter that, but the Barash would say you won't be matter that because it'll be mechametz and the aser and alos say. But by chometz, perhaps chometz is more than mei peros, right? The metzias is, right? Metzias is, the Gemara has decided chometz is even stops chimutz, and the reason will be is a pashut reason in metzias, right? Nothing magical. It's a metziastic thing that mei peros are a little bit acidic, and acid slows down chimutz, and that's the metzias. But chometz is far more acidic than orange juice. It's a really powerful acid, and therefore, maybe it won't be mechametz v'chlal. Therefore, that's the suffix. So that's very nice. Other shonim have to have different. You have to explain that there's really water here. But the pashta gemara is that even if you say that chometz won't be mechametz, meaning if you mix flour and water, and then you want to put in chometz won't stop it. But chometz itself is not mechametz. And that's a chiddush. So Rashi is very, very pashtu, that's a chiddush, that chometz and flour is not mechametz, akihu zeh, and it's completely mutter. Fine. So just say, this is because I like Rashi, and Rashi is b'sak of the Ramah, so us Ashkenazim could be relaxed, that no one's going to start mixing the apple juice and flour and baking Mizonos, Pesachtik bagels. I'm so sorry, don't I? I don't know. Okay. We could definitely. What?
Not such a bad idea.
So, there's two big kashas. I just want to mention two big kashas on Rashi. One big kasha is the Gemara. Is the famous matter on Lama Tet Vatika. Vatika is something that's made of a mixture of flour and oil. The Gemara's matter it, Pashas, it just means mixing flour and oil, and you keep it in your cabinet and eat it on Pesach. So seems to be no worry at all about chametz. The other big kashan Rashi is Gemara in Menachos Nzayim. The Gemara says about Minchas Nesachim. The Gemara talks about that menachos can't become chametz. There's a lav of becoming chametz. The Gemara talks about what about minchas nesachim. So the Gemara has a tzad to say that minchas nesachim has no water in it. Other menachos has water in it, but minchas Sachem is exclusively flour and oil, and the Gemara says since it's just flour and oil, there's no Metzias, it can't possibly come to the Chimitz, and therefore we don't even have to talk about if it would be Aser, if there's an Iser being Mechametz, the Sachem. Right? Pashas meaning there's nothing, even if you would try to be Mechametz, you could be Mechametz. So what's Rashi going to say about this? So I really was bothered. I really was very, very bothered. And I have to thank my daughter, Rachama, for experimenting on this, and she made a very powerful point. Is that if you mix, we mixed in our kitchen oil with flour and yeast, lots of yeast, to make things go, it didn't rise a kihuzeh, not even a mashal. In fact, my daughter pointed out the yeast didn't even activate. Nothing happened. So I thought, l'chayr, it's pashut, that mei peiros ein machmitzim, and Rashi says that just because they're not conducive to chametz, they don't machametz quickly, they won't make kares, but there's some things like chometz, which are not machametz b'chlal. So shemen also, ein machametz mei peiros, but the Metzius says it's not machametz b'chlal. Right? L'chayr, because yeast needs water to grow. That's one of the things it needs, is water, right? Just like plants need water, yeast also needs water to grow. So the chayra with just with oil, if there's no water in minchas nesachim, takum opi mechamas v'chlal b'mitzius. So I thought that could be a yishah to Rashi. Okay, one last sugya. Okay, I'm sorry for saying so much, but it's just I'm not going to share next week, so we could do focus on chazara. So I just want to get in. One last issue. Just the gabe Korban Pesach. Some of the Korban Pesach in Ogeil Lemaisa. There's a big sugi here about Bishul Acher Tzli. But the Gemara says that by Korban Pesach, if you cook the Korban Pesach after you roasted it, you're still over a lo saseh. So what is that? It has Gzeir Sakasiv. But why is that? So you could say it's a local din by Korban Pesach, a local drasha by Korban Pesach. However, the Gemara seems to be that it's not just a local din, it seems like it's a general din with Rishonim call that Yesh Bishul Acher Tzli. That even though there's no Bishul Acher Bishul, you can't cook something that's cooked, but there is Bishul after Tzli. And that even though Korban Pesach has been roasted, if afterwards you cook it, it'll be considered cooked and it'll be a losa say on eating. And that comes after the Gemara, because the Gemara says that just like the dinners by Korban Pesach, that Yesh Bishul after Tzli, so too you can learn from that to the din of Rav Yossi. Rav Yossi learns from that to his din, a din by Matzah. That by Matzah, Rav Yossi says that a Matzah, that's Mevushal, is Pasal. That if the Bishul, since there's Bishul after Tzli, and so too there's Bishul after Afia, so even though the Matzah was baked, but afterwards, when you cook it, that makes it that it's not, it has been baked, but it's also now been mevushal, it's considered to be mevushal, and since it gets a din of mevushal, it no longer is kosher for mitzvahs matzah. So it seems to be a yisod. Now, what exactly is the yisod? So some rishonim seem to have lashon, Tosfos seems to have a lashon that bishul is Mavatal Afiyah, or Mavatal Tzli. So it's an interesting Prima Gadin of Shinyun Ches. The Prima Gadin points out that when we say that there's Bishul after Tzli, it doesn't mean the Bishul completely negates the original Tzli, or the Bishul completely negates the original Afiyah. He says it just means that Bishul is considered Bishul, and it's no longer just Tzli, it becomes like a hybrid of it's both Mavushal and Tzli. And he says that, he just brings a Pashut Raya. For that, the Pashut Raya is that everyone agrees that if you cook your Korban Pesach and afterwards you roast the Korban Pesach, everyone agrees that you get Malkus for eating that Korban Pesach. Now, if really what you do second is Mevatel, what you did first, if Bishul negates Tzli, L'chayr, the Tzli should negate the Bishul. The male of Tzli would negate the Bishul. L'chayr, we should say, this is a perfectly good Korban Pesach. In a Kanami, you cooked it, but afterwards you roasted it. And let's go by what you did last. So he says, no, Avada, it's not one form of cooking isn't Mavatel, the first part, but it definitely adds on, and it's considered there was a real Maisa Bishul going on here. Fine. The other big riot to this, big, not everyone concludes, but big riot to this is that the Gemara says, Feirush Gemara in Brachos, Alam Zayin, that if you cook bread, you still make hamotzi. If it has tzuris hapas, right? If you break it into little pieces less than the kazayis, so then cook it, it loses hamotzi. But stam, you cook, you have your challah kugel, and it's big pieces of challah in that, even though it was cooked, the bracha is still hamotzi. That's the Feirush. So in Meila, we see that if you stop cook without baking, we know that it doesn't get hamotzi. So you see that it's still considered baked, but the fact that it's cooked afterwards, it adds it in a bishul, and therefore that'll make that it's not you can't be otzi matzah with it. In Tosfos, he says from the Ri, Tosfos Shantz, they say that this is. What's wrong? Tak, it's baked. So what do I care that afterwards it's mevushal? So they bring in matzah shira. L'chara meaning that part of lechem oni is that it's simple. Simple is it's just baked. Something that's both baked and cooked, so that already isn't good as matzah, right? We saw earlier the din of chal, that if you cook flour and then bake it, cook dough and then bake it, it's not going to be kosher for matzah snitzel. Matzah snitzel has to be just baked. Fine. Well, so the really hot topic here, halacha l'maisa, is the Urayim. The Urayim says, out of this Gemara, he says, you see, the yisod is that bishul acher tzli, yesh tzli acher bishul, and so too yesh bishul acher afia, and says the Urayim that therefore, even though we know in Masechet Shabbos there's a din, there's a Tosefta that says mevashel mesabashel, you're allowed to cook that which was cooked, and it says open mesa'afel, you're allowed to bake something that was baked. It's mutter on Shabbos, right? So therefore, on Shabbos, if you have kugel, you have a kugel and you want to heat it up on Shabbos, you can take the kugel on Shabbos and heat it up on your crock pot, even though it's going to get to yad to lettuce. Why? Because it was cooked before Shabbos. You're just continuing with the cooking. There's no Isser. But says the Urayim, there's an Isser of Bishul after Tzli. Right? If Lamashal, let's say I have roasted coffee beans and I want to make coffee. And I put that roasted coffee, let's say, for argument's sake, I put the roasted coffee beans into a Kli Rishon. And I say, yeah, it's already roasted, the coffee beans. What could be wrong with this? So the answer is that according to the Urayim, this is Aser, because even though it's roasted, Yesh Bishul after Tzli. So that's the Din Lahalacha. Now, the Rav Yo is Cholik, and he says it's not true. Ein Bishul after Tzli. Says the Rav Yo. He says in our Gemara Pesachim, so it's clear that there is bishul after tzli. He says the Gemara is not l'halacha, and he says the Gemara in Brachos, which he understands is what the Iker halacha is, seems to have a different pshat in Rav Yossi. Our Gemara says pshat in Rav Yossi is that matzah mevushalas is pasul because it's mevushal. But he says the Gemara in Brachos is a different reason. The Gemara says that Rav Yossi holds that matzah of shells is pasul because it doesn't have tam matzah. It says we need tam matzah, the leka. So it sounds like a very balbatish of the kitten. It's not that if you cook matzah is pasul because the matzah becomes mevushal and matzah has to be baked and can't be mevushal. It's not a problem in matzah that's mevushal. It sounds like it's a very balabatish din. If you cook matzah, it's not going to really taste so much like matzah anymore. And therefore, it's possible for matzah. But nothing to do with the fact it's mevushal. So says the Rav Yo, we see for the Gemara of Brachos, said, no, it's enechinami matzah can't be mevushal. But since it was baked, he says, ein bishul achrafia, tak, it doesn't turn the, it's not mevushal. So what's the problem? The problem is it tastes schwach. It doesn't taste much like matzah. So that's what he writes. So therefore the Rav Yo is cholik on the Urayim. And that's actually Tosfos by us. Right? Tosfos on Mem Aleph says that really the brachos, you can see this whole Gemara is not accepted in the Gemara. Brachos, matzah mevushal has nothing to do with the fact that a chalosh shein bishul, it has to do with the taste of matzah. So So what could be said for the Urayim? The Urayim is called as a Yesh Omer in Shulchan Aruch, or Machma for it, despite the argument that it's against the Gemara and Brachas. So different approaches given to try to be ma'achid the two Gemaras. I'd say both Gemaras are true, Eilu ve'Eilu. Matzah v'Vushal, the problem is that there's a Chaloshein Bishal and Tam Matzah. So I'll just say really much time, I'll just say very bekitzer. You could say that you really need both things to pass on the Matzah. There's two things that are needed. The first thing that's needed is that what makes Matzah Matzah is the Tam of Matzah. That's true. However, Stam changing the time of matzah alone is not enough to passel your matzah. Right? Mishnah Berurah points out, he says, a pashtus, most Rishonim, and definitely Rashi, says if you soak matzah even in a tafshil, Rashi on Mem Aleph says it's still kosher for mitzvah matzah. Ice not going to taste like matzah. So says the Mishnah Berurah, it doesn't matter because it doesn't have to taste like matzah, right? We saw the Gemara in Avi Pesachim says that if you swallow matzah without tasting it at all, you're yotzei. You don't have to actually taste it. The problem is just inside the chefza. The chefza has to be a chefza shel matzah, right? So therefore, if the chefza is a chefza of matzah, the fact that you put margarine on it, it's still considered matzah. So where do we have the problem of tam matzah? Tam matzah is only a problem when you put it together with something else. That means that this change in tam changed the chefza. It's no longer matzah. It's not just that it tastes a little different, but it's no longer matzah. How do you have that? So if it's mevushal, if the tam changed because it had a chaloshe mevushal, so since matzah, a function of matzah, what's called magdir matzah, defines matzah is taste. And since you've done something that has halachically changed the mitzias of the matzah, the chefza, is no longer matzah dik, it has mevushal dik a taste. It's considered bishal, it's in bishal. So a taste, that's a taste of real bishal, so that will destroy the shame matzah, and the mela, it'll be pasal. But taka, both sugyos are emes. Meaning that matzah, the chefza, mitzah, the chefza, it has to be matzadik, true, and that's a function of how it tastes. And bishul is a function of how it tastes, but that's something that affects the chefza in a real way, because yesh bishul acharafia, it's not just considered, it's wet, it's soaked, it's mavushal. So since it's mevushal and that affects the tav, so the mela that passes the matzah.